Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
This is the unscripted portion of Sabres Live because every other hour we've ever done is so scripted you can't even imagine. Is there a place you want to start around the NHL, Marty?
Well, I got down a rabbit hole last night.
Oh, here we go.
Ovechkin scored, right? So he's, getting closer and closer. And now this is kind of interesting to me that Ovechkin got 8 already this year. He didn't get the 8 until after half the year last year. It was in February when he got his 8th goal or whatever. So Ovi scores. They wore those, when Ovechkin Eagles broke into the league, those uniforms, right, that they had back then. Mm. But it's a game-winning goal. So it made me think of, I think Ovechkin is pretty high on the list of game-winning goal. I know we all talk about him chasing the Wayne Gretzky goal record, but he's only five game-winning goals back of Jaromir Jagr for number one in the NHL in the history of the game.
In about what, 600 fewer games?
In about 300. Yeah, yeah. 1733 and 1438. So in 300 fewer games, right?
Yeah.
Here's the interesting thing. Where do you think Wayne Gretzky fits on that list of game-winning goals?
I've seen this a million times. Is he not top 10?
He's 22nd.
Yeah.
Like Jeff Carter has more game-winning goals than Wayne Gretzky.
There were many others with him capable of scoring the game winner. Plus, i.e. he wasn't a one-man show. Ovi's been a bit of a one-man show to a certain extent, right?
Yes. The percentage of goals and of Ovi.
Backstrom was feeding him, and Wayne was like, how many game winners has Wayne assisted on? When you're talking about the greatest playmaker in the history of the game who has more assists than anybody else has points, let's do the math on Wayne's game-winning assists. And, maybe then raise a flag for concern. But it is a super interesting point.
Duffer, so Washington wins 3-2. Ovechkin gets a goal. He's got one of the three goals that the Capitals scored. Yep. So he has a chance, one out of three chance to have the game-winning goal. And that's been, common in the era of Ovechkin with the Washington Capitals. When Gretzky and the Oilers were really hot and Gretzky was scoring a ton of goals, they were winning 7-2. He had one goal or maybe two goals, but that's still not one out of three chances to have the game-winning goal. Maybe he got the first and second goal, and then he said, I'm done for the night, and he didn't get the third or the fourth goal that were the game-winning goals.
So what feed were you watching of that game?
I was watching more on, I actually had the Detroit-Chicago game on.
No, but that's not possible to watch Washington and Nashville.
I know, watching through social media. I was getting clips and highlights of everything. So, yes.
So you weren't watching either the Washington or Nashville feed is what you're telling me.
No, but I did see Dylan Strome missing the net and Ovechkin celebrating like it was goal. And he kept his hands in the air too late now. I'm not bringing them down.
It was pretty funny.
It was for field goal. He was actually field goal.
There was a graphic on the Predators broadcast, which really kind of put in incredible context. And they're not the only broadcast. I'm sure everybody's been running it because it's probably in their game notes. But with his goal last night.
Yes.
Ovechkin has now scored 31 times in his last 48 games.
Yeah.
Going back to last year. Do you know what that, what that triggered in my head as soon as I saw that?
31 times in 48 games. That's on pace for over 50.
In the lockout shortened 2012-2013 season, Ovechkin scored 32 in 48 games.
Yeah, we had 48.
We're talking about a guy who was 12 years younger then.
Yep.
Scoring at that pace, and he is now on the exact same pace. That is stunning. And oh, by the way, before the NHL started that season, he played in the KHL, and when you marry the two stats, he had another 51-goal season to his credit.
Yeah, it's and Washington crazy. Was a team in that era that was they were a really good team. They were a mm-hmm. top-of-the-league team. I'm not saying they're not a good team now. They're performing, and their record shows that they're a pretty good team right now, but it's not the same thing. And the fact that Ovechkin from last year and this season, his last 48 games, has gotten 31 goals. Mm-hmm. It's mind-boggling. Like, how does we watch pictures of him over the summer? The guy looked like he hadn't even gotten into the gym once this summer, and then all of a sudden shows up this year, and you're thinking, he may score 15 goals, let alone he's not getting to 20, and then he's got 8 already, and it's 12 games in.
So who's the leader for Coach of the Year? Spencer Carberry or Jim Hiller in L.A.?
Spencer Carberry. I think that's a Washington Capitals thing. You watch them play. It's not just Ovechkin. Dylan Strome is having a great year. Connor McMichael. Who's Connor McMichael? Well, you know what? He scored again yesterday.
Scored 18 last year.
Yeah, I get that. But it's like he gets 7, 8, 9 shots a game, Connor McMichael. Yeah. He goes to the front of the net so much so that Mike Kelly, Sports Logic, NHL Network, did a breakdown on X about Connor McMichael and the impact that he has on games. Pierre-Luc Dubois, his impact on his line with Wilson and McMichael. The fact that, you know, they got Charlie Lindgren and Logan Thompson in net. They're good. But their system really has been on point for Washington. So Spencer Carberry is the leader in the clubhouse for me.
Yeah, well, the coach opposite him last night is probably the one inching maybe closest to the hot seat. I don't know. Burnett's a legend in Nashville franchise history. Like, it would, you know, and it's still kind of early on in the Trotz era, but Predators are 1-3-1 in their last 5. With that Trotz quote from earlier this week on sports radio in Nashville, when he was saying, you know, he's open to a rebuild if things don't.
If it doesn't turn around, yeah.
Like, okay, what? Well, here's what I noticed. Most of their big money guys have immovable contracts. So, do you think, with almost the forced patience that the Predators will have to endure here because they won't move off of any of the big ticket contracts. Will they be able to salvage this thing?
A week ago, I was like, yeah, you know, they were starting.
A week ago, they were in good shape.
They were starting to get going. And look, I know we've said Juuse Saros has not had a great start to the season, but he's still top 10 in the league in goals saved above expectation. So what does that tell me? Nashville gives up a ton of chances. Mm-hmm. Defensively, they're not good. They're not, and they have Brady Shea and they have Roman Josi, and the rest of their defense is really kind of pieced together. I don't like their group of 6 on the back end. I don't think that they added players like Marchessault and Stamkos. They're good players. Like, they should have a bigger impact than what they have right now, but they're not going to impact the game defensively. And so it creates more again against the Nashville Predators. And the system, look, Andrew Brunette, and Shayna has been very, very, Shayna Goldman, who's going to join us tomorrow, she's been critical of Brunette from when he took over in Florida and now with the Nashville Predators. I don't think they would fire Andrew Brunette. But really, if you're Barry Trotz, you've extended Forsberg, you signed Saros, you went and got Stamkos and Marchessault, and you've done the work. What's the move to make now? You're not going to go make a major.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the Snacktime MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your trade at this moment, the move to make now is almost the move that St. Louis did when they, hired Craig Berube as a coach, or the Edmonton Oilers when they got Chris Knobloch to coach last year. Like, that's almost the one move that they have to do. I don't think they're going to do it yet, but another 3 weeks like this, and that may happen.
Would Trotz be the natural coach?
Well, it makes sense that if you can't defend and you're having a tough time defensively, that Barry Trotz would come in. And but it's hard to be a GM and a coach in today's game. Like, it's
unless
so
you're
much...
Barry Trotz, kind of like Nashville's his thing, right?
And it is. He's missing.
And he also just worked with Lou, and Lou was no stranger to adding titles to his business card throughout the course.
Lou would fire his coach 2 games before the end of the regular season, take over, and then go into playoffs. And okay. He'd be like, what are you doing?
I feel like I dwell on Nashville too much, so apologies for that. Jim Hiller, by the way, that's like my running joke all year. Like, you know, he's going to win Coach of the Year coach. Because so he's 3-0-1 since Fialagate.
Yeah.
And Fiala has 3 goals and 6 points in those 4 games. Like, everything has worked. He's handled the goaltending perfectly. The Kings are, and oh my gosh, like, it was the Kevin Fiala world tour. Like,
yeah,
all the attention was on him. Then he goes to his 2 former stops in Nashville and Minnesota and scores in both of them. And it just is like, holy cow, how did this work out so perfectly for LA? Anyway, enough about them. The game of the night might be Winnipeg and Colorado tonight.
Yes.
So Cale Makar, game time decision. He's quote unquote okay after the scare that he had the other night.
Yeah.
What's really interesting is that Winnipeg will be shooting against Alexander Georgiev. And I watched the Avalanche broadcast the other night, and they were kind of excited for what they expected was going to be Georgiev's turn based on how the playoffs went for Georgiev last year in Winnipeg. Remember the wild first game of the series? Yeah. Georgiev allowed 7 on 23 shots. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, what are the Avalanche going to do? But of course, simultaneously, Hellebuck was having some challenges at the other end.
Not according to him, but yes.
Correct. Numerically speaking.
Yes.
Colorado then won 4 straight games. And the save percentage for Georgiev in the 4 wins, 933, 917, 963, 917. Like, what a response he had in that series. So does that matter on tonight's line? Like, do you think the Avs and Georgiev had a chance, or you think Winnipeg is all Jets?
Okay. When I was a kid, my dad had records, right? In the bottom drawer of the TV cabinet where the turntable was, and one of the record was Men at Work. And I still remember the artwork on the record and all that. There's a song by Men at Work that's called It's a Mistake, right? You know the song, everybody, they hear it in the arena when there's a bad call and it's a mistake. And now they say the song, whatever. There you go. Like, I get it. That you want to get Georgiev going again. But if you're the Colorado Avalanche, you got to win games. And who's been winning you games is Justus Enninen. And he won the last game. Yeah, gave up 3, but still. You tried to go Georgiev, loss. You went Kapokakinen, loss. You come back to Enninen, he wins. Like, I don't get it. I really don't get it. And Winnipeg's the hottest team in the league. They are that good. And you're going to go hoping that your goalie has a little bit of that feeling he got in the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think this will be a bad one.
Well, I don't know if they're going that way because of the feeling. Maybe it's putting a person back in a position where they've had success. Isn't that a smart thing to do?
No. I want to say yes, but I think they've tried that this year three times. He plays the first game of the year, gets pulled. Let's get him in the second game of the year. Gets pulled again. Let's start him the third game of the year. It didn't go well. Like you, I think Colorado should know by now that they've tried to put him in a situation where they would say, hey, go ahead. Go ahead. We like you. You're our guy. Like, let's get you feeling good again. And it hasn't worked. And it's early in the season right now to test out other things. Mm. Know what you've got. They've got three goalies right now, and the only one that's getting results is Enonen. And so, yeah, I mean, I think in theory, if it was just a blimp,
a blimp.
Mm. I like the Goodyear blimp. I like the blimp on the radar. If it was just a blip on the radar, I would say, okay, play Georgiev because you want to get him back in net. But it hasn't been that, and I don't get it. I just don't.
Real quick, do you know who one of the hottest goalies on North American soil is of late?
Hottest goalies in North American soil of late? Cam Talbot.
Perhaps. I'm looking at Tristan Jarry.
Oh, in the AHL?
He is 4-0 in his AHL stint with a 169 and a 946. Yeah. Let it be a lesson that conditioning stints can be beneficial. I would expect him to be up pretty soon.
I would expect him to be up and be given another chance. But, yeah, nobody wants to go on a conditioning stint. You're in the NHL. You should be able to get yourself back. But if you get to that point, you get to that point. But, okay.
Tom Barrasso did it the year after winning the Calder in the Vezina. So.
Yeah, but he was also 18, 19 years old.
What does it matter? So age is just a number. Yeah,
age is not a number. At some point, the salary comes into play as well now.
Okay.
Cam Talbot has been hot, and the Detroit Red Wings won again yesterday. Mm-hmm. And look, I know... You know, we're talking about Ottawa, Buffalo, Detroit, but yesterday was a good game for the Detroit Red Wings against Chicago. Cam Talbot looked really good. He looked good, you know, the last few games I've watched him.
Yeah, they're back over 500. They've won a couple in a row and are in a decent spot that has Buffalo chasing them and hoping to catch tonight as the Sabres take on the New York Rangers at MSG. We'll wrap Sabres Live after this.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres in New York tonight. Marty, do you remember your first ever game at MSG?
Well, my first ever time at MSG, I didn't play. I was the third goalie. Hasek came back, and that's when he made that windmill save on Manny Malhotra where he flipped the pads the other way. Mm-hmm. And I was about like 15 rows up because we had seats in the crowd. And I put my hands on my head like, oh, my God, what did I just witness? That was my first ever time at MSG.
Which is what Comrie did last year with the Luukkonen save.
Yes, basically put his hands on his head like from the corner, the reason right? He was in the corner like, ah!
Reason I bring it up is because you didn't expect any lineup changes, and there are not expected to be any lineup changes for Buffalo tonight, and that means Dennis Gilbert will get his first ever game at Madison Square Garden tonight. So I'm excited for him. He was so thoughtful in his answers in our post-game interview the other night. And I was just, I don't want to say I was skeptical, but I was glad you were optimistic that the lineup wouldn't change. And I think this is really nice for Dennis.
No, this is a cool thing. And look, the new MSG is really nice. Like the renovations they did, $1 billion in renovations over years, and it's awesome. But I miss the old, the smell of the old, the pictures on the wall when you got to the ice in the old MSG. It was so, the history was right there. But hey, anytime you're in Manhattan at MSG, it's a really cool feeling.
Against the Sabres' only trip this year, we will be on the air 6:30 p.m. tonight for pregame coverage on MSG. We will see you then.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.